One of the reasons no one really noticed the America's Cup this year was that it clashed with the annual paper boat race on Morden's Model Yacht Lake. Another reason is that billionaires throwing their toys out of the paddling pool isn't really much of a spectator sport. Yet, if they hadn't spent so much time bickering, they might have spotted the announcements on the notice board in the Queen's Head and could have saved themselves a whole heap of money and effort. The sign had been up for months, but even before that, some of the greatest minds in Morden, and believe me, that really is saying something, along with a lot of mediocre ones, had been pushing out the gummed envelope of cutting-edge paper design technology. And that didn't leave a lot of surplus brain power for America's Cup frippery. Every year, in the run-up to the paper boat race, all the chandleries in striking distance of Morden experience a bonanza in sales of all epoxy, Kevlar, carbon fibre and GRP-based materials that can easily be moulded into boat-shaped shapes and possibly other things. And every year, around about this time, chandleries, being chandleries, show their support by doubling the prices of all these products. It's just one of those strange coincidences that often occurs in Morden. As everyone's paper boats are made entirely out of paper, everyone's at a loss to explain it. It's just as much a coincidence as the local craft shops experiencing absolutely no boost in demand for paper, card and gum in the run-up to the paper boat race. Again, it's pure coincidence, that's all. Of course, for some, it's not just about winning. It's about firepower. John Gibbons, who knows a thing or two about boats, had spent months crafting HMS Rodney, a magnificent man-of-war. But the really impressive bit was below decks, as he confided late one night in the Queen's Head. He'd deployed party poppers as cannon, devising a cunning winding mechanism to trigger the string pulls. On paper, HMS Rodney sounded magnificent. In paper, she was even more impressive, but with no less than 13 sails, sailing handling would demand utmost skill. And to that end, he'd ordered a crew of fully trained Capuchin monkeys off eBay. He'd thought of everything. Well, almost. Then there was my next-door neighbour, former yacht broker Mike Lewis, who also knows a thing or two about boats, even if he says so himself, and he does often. He was working feverishly and secretively on his paper boat behind thick double blackout curtains that muffled the sound of angle grinders, machine tools, hydraulic presses and steam hammers emanating from his kitchen. One night, when the noise, vibrations and fumes became too much, I knocked on his door and he answered in slippers, dressing gown, welding helmet and blowtorch. He was putting up a pelmet, he explained, and wouldn't be long. Ian Wilson, who owns Blackwater Marina, employs people who know a thing or two about boats, and for him they crafted a magnificent catamaran, BLT Coracle, very much like the America's Cup contender BMW Oracle, but bigger, faster, harder, tougher, a lot more expensive, and of course made entirely out of paper. Then there was me, who doesn't know much about boats, even if I do say so myself. So I'd hired a top team of America's Cup lawyers, Farley, Rusk and Gripewater, who'd found a loophole in the rules. That was pretty impressive, as no one else had even found the rules. As the start gun fired and with a final nudge from their creators, the paper flotilla took to the water, but not my contender, Lady Osmosis of Romford III. She took to the air as I lobbed her with all my strength in a graceful arc halfway across the lake. Farley Rusk and Gripewater were on hand to handle objections. For a few brief, glorious moments, Lady Osmosis was in the lead. Then she wasn't, as the rest of the fleet engulfed her. But I wasn't the only one in trouble. The lines of HMS Rodney, it seems, had been taken straight off the Mary Rose, and in no time her gun ports were under water as she foundered without firing a salvo. It was as heroic as a damp papier-mâché squib can be. And it was probably just as well the Capuchin monkey crew never arrived, as the death toll could have caused a bit of an animal rights hoo-ha. It's a shame, though, as John had even crafted suits of miniature armour out of drinks cans. And from the sodden paper carnage, the winner emerged as Sweet Dreams, entered by Chris Cumbers. I don't know him, but he clearly knows a thing or two about boats. But the action wasn't over. Ian Wilson, the one who employs people who know about boats, had entered the powered category with a catamaran driven by a wind-up gramophone. He reckoned on winning, as his was the only entry, and he'd also painted it black, explaining that it was a stealth craft. That was a mistake, because I reckon that as a stealth craft it was pretty rubbish, because you could actually see it. And that gave me an idea. I entered my own stealth craft, Lady Osmosis of Romford the Fourth, which is not merely invisible on radar, but completely invisible altogether. So, naturally, I won, but I'm just having a bit of trouble proving it, and Ian's lawyers, Hannah, Montana and Barbie, are trying to suggest I was over the line at the start, as if. Naturally, the high profile of the Morden event has prompted overtures from the America's Cup billionaires begging to enter next year's paper boat race. And naturally they've been turned down, as they just haven't got big enough budgets to mount a serious entry. Still, they might mount a legal challenge. You know what they're like.